one doesn't have to be able to drive around here in this area for too long before at some point you're going to have to do a little bit of waiting. Somewhere you will have decided that you needed to go south on 95 on a Saturday morning, and there'll be a wreck, and you'll spend some time waiting and waiting and waiting. It has been known to take 6 hours to get from here to Fredericksburg and 5 hours to get from there to Winston-Salem. Waiting is a part of our life. It happens in all sorts of times and places. In the line in the grocery store, in traffic, waiting in line at a restaurant, waiting almost anywhere we can do. Waiting for our boss, waiting for our employees, waiting on a phone call, call waiting, 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 waiting. The other half of this is expectations. We have all of us expectations that certain things will happen and certain things will occur. We expect other people to do certain things. We expect ourselves to do certain things. And when those expectations are not met, we become disturbed and angry, upset with the others and upset with ourselves. A lot of our misery might be pointed directly in these two places, our desire not to wait and our desire for our expectations to be met. It is important for us as people of faith to take a look at how we wait and what we expect. The people in Thessalonica to whom Paul is writing are a people who are alive with the gospel. They had come to know Jesus Christ through the ministry of Paul after he had left the Philippian church and the travails and difficulties and the joys and successes of his visit there. The Thessalonians were a faithful bunch, and Paul journeyed with them for several months, built them up. But as they began to live their life in Christ, they were remembering one of the dearest expectations, one of the strongest elements of the gospel that Paul preached, and indeed we preach still today, that Jesus Christ will come again. This was an element of the good news from the very beginning. The people who came to faith in the risen Christ expected Jesus to return any moment. In the first decades after the death and resurrection of Christ, people who had remembered the event, had witnessed the events, had come to believe in the events if they had not witnessed them themselves, expected Jesus to be present almost any moment. They waited with great anticipation. As time passed, some of those who waited with such anticipation died. And remember, Jesus said something that was in their minds that had been passed on. Yea, some of you will not die before I come back. There was an expectation that Jesus would return soon. And when Christians started dying, there was disappointment and concern. on the part of those who remain. Is Jesus coming back? What happens to these who have died? Paul assures them that Jesus will take care of them, that this will be no problem for Christ, and that their death is a death in Christ, and that they will live eternally with Christ. It might seem quaint for you and I who live 2,000 years after the fact that they held such a belief and they had such a concern, and yet there it was. And we still, to this day, wait and anticipate, and we expect Jesus to return. We may die before that. We may die after that. We don't know. But we expect it. The question then, and the question that Christians have had to confront ever since that time, was how do we wait and what do we expect? How do we wait and what do we expect? And the 10 bridesmaids begin to give us a clue. They help us understand that waiting is something that is not wasted time. Waiting is something that is an opportunity. The time that we are given between this moment and the anticipated moment of the bridegroom's arrival is a time not wasted, but a time spent taking care of the business of the bridegroom. For the 5 maidens who purchased and maintained oil enough to wait for the bridegroom, they attended to the business at hand. For those who did not, they were doing something else, we don't know what. They might have been sitting around gossiping. They might have been sitting around playing cards. They may have gone shopping. They may have been out working on the Ford in the back. I don't know. But they were not taking care of the business of the kingdom, the business of the bridegroom. They were doing something else. And so when the bridegroom returned, they were caught short. They were not attending to what they should have attended to, and therefore they didn't have what they needed to participate in the kingdom of the bridegroom, the kingdom of God. This helps us understand that you and I are a people who both wait and expect, but we wait with a certain purpose, and our expectation of Jesus' return modifies and transforms our expectations of ourselves and of other people. When we expect Jesus to return, we understand that all of us are going to be held to a certain level of accountability. We are going to have to say something and give account for who we are in Jesus. It will not do any good for us to go to Christ and say that we were reasonably decent chaps on the whole. It will not do for us to go to Jesus and say, well, on average, I was better than most. We will have to give an accounting to God that will put the light of Christ squarely into the very deepest recesses of who we are and what we are about. And if we do not have sufficient oil enough to light the lamp ourselves, there will be a stronger light that will come under, or we will come under. It matters how we spend our time waiting for the anticipated arrival of the bridegroom. And this is how we wait. We wait first by keeping our hearts and minds centered on God in prayer and in study of Scripture. It is very simple and yet so very difficult to maintain that habit, but it is how we wait. It is the first step of waiting. That we are communicating with God, not only telling God what's on our minds, but open to God whispering and motivating and moving through us by the Spirit and guiding us. And if you struggle with this, if this is hard for you, fear not. This is something that we can help with. This is the kind of thing that we should be helping each other with, encouraging each other. That when we struggle in prayer, when we struggle in study, when we don't understand Scripture, that this might be something that we can help each other out with. Which sort of leads us to the second element of waiting. That when you are waiting for something to happen, it is almost always easier to wait with others. How many of you have sat in a doctor's office or in an airport and struck up a conversation with somebody who you were waiting with? And all of a sudden you find that you're at your appointment or you're at the moment when the plane will load, and you didn't know where the time went. The second part of waiting for what we anticipate will happen is to wait together and hold our hope together. That we anticipate the arrival of the bridegroom. And so we gather on Sundays. And at other times in the week, we gather in each other's homes, we gather in Sunday schools, in classrooms, we gather at events that we share together, and we enjoy each other's company. We support each other. We ask questions about the things that matter. We look for support and we look to support each other. And take care of each other. And not only that, while we are waiting, we set about the purposes of God's kingdom. We set about the bridegroom's work. Well, you say the bridegroom has done all the work he's done. He's saved me. What more does he need to do? Brothers and sisters, the bridegroom's work was not completed for you when you discovered that he died for your sins. Indeed, for God to have such compassion upon you to send his only Son, Jesus Christ, to die for you and to forgive you and to give you eternal life is that reality, that offer, that gift, that wonderful event not only has meaning for you, but it has meaning for others. That somehow the fact that God loves so compassionately and so deeply is not only important for each of us, it's important for people who do not yet know that reality. We are in a place. We are in a neighborhood where the vast majority of the 30,000 people that live in 22309, or if you want to make it 60,000 people or 70,000 people, make it 22306, 22308, and 22309, the vast majority of the people in those zip codes do not have a vital relationship with Jesus Christ, have never heard the good news of Jesus Christ, may even not know who Jesus is, may never have read any part of the Bible, may never have met any Christian that acted through the love of Christ, and may only know about Christians what other people tell them and what history lifts up. Folks, while we're waiting for Christ to return, we have something to do for the kingdom. And this is not telling you anything new. You've been doing kingdom things for a long time. But sometimes when you do something for a long time, your energy flags, your focus gets fuzzy, and you wonder, what are we waiting for? What are we doing? Christ asks us, what are we waiting for? We're waiting for Christ by the things we do in our ministry to the world around us. Whenever we come to this point of the church year, of the calendar year, we're anticipating what might happen in the year to come, 2009. We think about things like budgets. We think about all sorts of things. But what they are expressions of how we are going to wait for God in ministry, and how we will be faithful to the God who has blessed us. And so we talk about our money and our time and our activities, because these are the way that we honor the bridegroom, even when the bridegroom may not be fully present. And so my invitation to you, my invitation to myself, is that we will hold very tight and very near to our hearts the fact that as you and I anticipate and await the coming of Christ, that we will share together our love, share together our energy, share together what resources we have, share together what hopes we dream, share together what concerns we see in our community around us, and be a people who are alive and aware of and desiring to serve God in new ways. We can also look back at what has happened over the 2 millennia since Christ died and Christ was raised again, and understand that any time any group of people committed themselves to waiting faithfully for Christ, that Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, did indeed present Christ's self. So what are we waiting for? Let us commit ourselves to God. Let us commit ourselves to God's ministry. Let's renew our commitment and our faith to be a people who follow Christ. I'd like to invite you, if you have your cards with you, they were mailed out earlier in the week and we still have some available, to share those now as Gus will come and pick those up. If you don't have your card, that's okay. Turn it in another time. If you don't have a card at all, go ahead and get one. We'll have some up here. I'll just leave them right here on the top. But more importantly than what you put down on any card is what happens in your heart. More important than anything that we have in the way of budgets is more important what you commit to in your heart. And I invite you to commit your hearts and minds to the ministry of Jesus Christ, to caring for each other, and to loving the lost, the last, and the least in this community, and bringing them the good news of Jesus Christ, both in word and in deed, through your love.